A split sermon format, and our first speaker today is Mr. Joe Camerata. He's a deacon over on the west side, and his split sermon is titled, The Collapse of Nations, The Collapse of People.
Greetings, everyone. It's certainly good to be back here again. I really like that last song that we sang, The Church is One Foundation. And think about that as we go through the entirety of the message and realize this is our home. This is where we were called into. It's good to see. I don't think we have near as many people, but some people are still on the road. And it's just, that's the way things are. I wanted to let you know that through the media that we have, that there's at least three people from other places that are watching that I know of. One is in California, one is in the Dakotas, and one is in Kenya. And I thought, wow, this is a world is getting smaller and smaller all the time. And as you observed from the message, Collapse of Nations, you recognize that society is on a serious decline. And we could give a litany of all sorts of bad decisions and choices made by a multitude of people in the news media, in the nations, and so many more. Somebody told me just recently that the news media would be proper with the title of DDT, that is, I may not have this correct, but that is Dirty Deeds Technology. And if you've watched the news, you know it's not that good. So, we are all familiar with things that go on in the world today. We all recognize and we've had our ups and downs. We've had recognize the failures of human nature. How often have we heard the terms related to the kingdoms rising and falling? We could see it all the time in the news. We could hear about it on TV, read it in the papers. And just when you think things are smoothing out, there's another riot in France or in the United States or some other country, and it's not getting any better. Years ago, when I was a young tyke, and that was over 50 years ago, I began to see the decline of society, and even then, the decaying of morals. Today in the current news, one terrible example just happened, where a prime minister of a world power basically is making excuses for those involved in pedophile. Can you imagine that? Where are the standards? Where have the standards gone? No need to go any further, but you know that acronym, Dirty Deeds Technology. We all understand that we are in a downward slide, and that even today, when you read about churches, Christianity, and so many others that claim to be good, they're accepting things now that they never would have accepted 10, 20, 30 years ago. No, it was not perfect way back then, but it's not getting any better. Society is on a terrible, serious decline. There's deceits, distorted news, and lies. And we're embedded almost with modern scribes and Pharisees who are accepting the unthinkable. I wonder how many here actually are able to watch the repeated lies on the news broadcast on the evenings and the twisted morals that people are developing. These times, are more tenuous than it was for the church back in 95, when most here know that those were some pretty serious times when people scattered to and fro. People lost their first love, if they ever had it. And then we've had other issues over time. Sometimes there's calm periods, quiet periods, only to have that quiet shouted out or down by unseemly things, by disputes and arguments. How many of us go through disputes and arguments? How many of us get our feelings hurt over not just big things, sometimes little things? And it's like that old Chinese torture where a drop of water on the forehead, day in and day out, eventually it's more than you could bear. Over time, many people depart from sound teaching as we continue to tumble into disarray. Could we now, even now, be in the latter days that we have so often discussed in the past? Could these be the latter days? If so, can we be prepared for a calm in the storm? Things may ease up for a while, but then society is liable to explode into all kinds of anger and bitterness. We, as individuals, need to be especially vigilant in these troubling times. Now, I want you to realize, and I don't see too many, there's a number of young people here, this message is not just for those 21 and older. It's for the young people. They have their struggles. They have their trials. They have their difficulties. When I was a child, I had my struggles and difficulties. Over 50 years ago, I lived in New York City. And I saw things that would be unspeakable to be even discuss in front of a large group like this. It's something I could discuss in private, but it's something that gets embedded in you. And unless you have somebody in your life to help you turn around, you will get caught up by society. And I've seen it currently in this present age. So many are getting caught up in the evils of a society rapidly going downhill. At that time, when I was a child, there was a lot of bad things going on, and yet for some reason, I saw things and heard things, and I realized there is a God in heaven, a God who is looking after you and me, whether we are young or old. I don't like to admit that I'm old. I was a chemist for 40 years. I've been preserved in formaldehyde. Now you know the secret. But do not try that at home, please. As a little boy, I gradually began to see that God was looking and guided me from very bad situations. There was always someone who would say, "Why are you laughing at that? That is not funny." And I'd simply look, and I guess I was responsive in this way. "Oh, okay." And this happened several times. Maybe at 15, maybe at 20, maybe at 25, maybe at 30. It continued to happen. Somebody said, "What are you doing that for? Why do we do things that really are not good for us spiritually, morally? Things that would hurt other people." The title of this message, "The Collapse of Nations and the Collapse of a People." And the synopsis, "Many believe we are plummeting towards the end of the age," or elsewhere it says, "the end of days." If so, then just what do we do in these dangerous times? What do we do? National and international morals are collapsing all around us. Do we grab the depth of what is going on? Do we stand alone in our spiritual struggles? Sometimes we do, and sometimes we have to. But we don't stand alone. I've known of people that went off on their own. They didn't think they could be in fellowship with anyone. Ultimately, the one man I remember, he was on his deathbed, all alone, and he still could not get it. And he died that way. It's not totally over for him. He never fully comprehended. But there will be a time in the future when many who have gone astray will have an opportunity. Each one of us is challenged by the vagaries of life, and too often the smallest of things will hurt, and it brings about spiritual decay. I was just talking to somebody about the Chinese torture. One drop of water on the forehead continually, day in and day out, eventually it will take its toll. I heard this on the radio yesterday. The front line of the moral decay begins at one's own front door. But with our homes on radio, TV, cell phones, computers, we come across those who are boasting and espousing and glorifying the sins of mankind. And more, this is happening among people in the churches of God. They're buying into things that they never would have bought into 20 or 30 years ago. When we say, "I'm strong," just be careful, for that might be a stepping stone collapsing into society's moral decay. You could only put up with so much of that. There's times to get away from it, to reach out to those who you know have sound doctrine. We're not going to agree on every single tiny thing, but that's part of the character development that God gave us, that we had to learn how to deal with these things that may trouble us, and not just to run off in a huff. Beware when we say we are strong, for that may be the stepping stone, as I said already. That may be a chink in our armor. Let me read this, and I'll read these slow, and I'll repeat it. Romans 12:3, so you could write it down, but I don't turn to it. I can't find things in my Bible anymore. The writing is faint and everything, my little notes. But anyway, Romans 12:3, and this is, most of these are from the English Standard Version. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Sober judgment. Not something dealing with whims or emotion of the time, but let it be based on a sound foundation. Surely each one of us must recognize we are not, as I've already said, to just simply stand alone. That we need one another. We need the personal example. We need the wisdom of others that may have a little more knowledge than us. Let's face it, I have to admit, I don't have it all. I don't think anybody has it all. And we could all see through the things that happened to people in the past how even the ones that could espouse the greatest and the best way of saying something, they went astray. Where are they today? Maybe still waiting in the wings. Maybe awaiting another resurrection. I don't know. It's not for me to judge. We don't judge and evaluate and say, you go with the sheep and you go with the goats. We don't do that. We can't. We don't know the inner heart. We don't even know ourselves what we really are all about until we examine ourselves deeply. I'd like to give a personal example of how I slowly came into the church and I began to learn the truth of God and His Word, the Bible. It was about 5 years before my conversion. That would have taken us back to roughly 1964. I began reading and studying, and I was looking for people that I could talk to, that I could commune with, that we could have sound discussion with. I found no one. But I stayed the course. And it was interesting because at that time I worked in a machine shop and I'm asking people different things. I was discussing things about the army draft and I was whether there's a Trinity or this or that. I was asking questions and I could not get good answers for the most part. Then the strange thing happened. I came into the church after discussing with a man in the machine shop quite openly about what I felt and about my concerns. I walked into that German-American club in Sunny Slope, I believe it was, and lo and behold, I see the machinist that was standing right next to me. I could tell you later who he was. I won't say it from up here. I could see him. And he looked at me and he says, what are you doing here? I looked at him, what are you doing here? And how come you never answered my questions? He shrugged his shoulders. A lot of people wouldn't answer questions. Could he have helped me sooner? But it was probably best for me to have gone through that and recognize I had to stand on my own, which we don't continually do. Because it tells you, lean not to your own understanding. The more you lean to your own understanding, the more you're going to make, instead of buying the Volkswagen that you can afford, you're going to buy that Cadillac, which you can't afford, and you're going to have to turn it back in a year. So, we don't lean to our own understanding. We all ought to stand fast in the faith. And I mean that absolutely. Do not forget that. Stand fast in the faith. Let's turn and read in Timothy 4, 1 to 3. I believe it's 1 Timothy. I didn't put that mark in there, but I'm going to blame the other guy for that. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 3. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the later or elsewhere, some versions say the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received in thanksgiving. This has nothing to do with clean and unclean foods. That's another different aspect. Received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the whole truth. Are we not seeing this in society today as a whole? Let us be wary, very, very wary, of straying from the truth, because the flaws of others, the debauchery of society, the weakness of self, we need to stand strong in the face of the adversity, animosity, and confusion of life. And there is a whole lot of it. This is probably one of the least stabilized times I've ever felt in my whole life. And I've been around the block a few more times than most in here. These times are tough. Some say choose this, some say choose that, some say choose middle ground. They all might be wrong. Choose it from what God's word says. And remember, the natural mind is hostile toward God. But we've been given the help of the Holy Spirit within us. We are to teach the truth. And despite the adversity, we must teach sound doctrine. We don't have to fight. If somebody wants to argue, we don't argue with them. Time to just step back. They may be more receptive later. And I've seen that in some people. They would argue with you tooth and nail about certain doctrines that they are so uninformed about. We could have closed off the relationships on Facebook or elsewhere, wherever it's happened. But you show yourself friendly. You don't build that wall. If they want that wall built, let them build the wall. But you are open to helping and serving. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6, 3 to 6. 1 Timothy 6, 3 to 6. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels about words. I had a discussion with someone earlier about this, and obviously we can see that. That does happen. Which produces envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions. There's a lot of words in here. We should probably read that more often. Verse 5, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We must persevere in doing what is right. 1 Timothy 6, 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. We don't have to pound our neighbor when he says something wrong, says something about a holiday or how many God figures are there or Nazi socialism is the way to go. We don't have to beat up on people. They'll get their turn later on being beaten up on by a higher power. Here's an important scripture or important principle. And it's like, to me, it's like marching orders. 1 Timothy 6:20. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely claimed or called knowledge. Wow. No, I never did get a PhD, and I never got a master's. But I got a degree, and it was with honors, But that stuff is not as important as what is in here in the book, here in your Bible, which is on your lap. The world is increasingly going the way of mankind, the way mankind has gone through history, with another serious downslide. If you read the history, a lot of people don't read history for some reason. Oh, it's boring. Is it really? If you look at what led up to World War I, and then look back in retrospect, could there have been ways to avoid World War I? And then when Europe went crazy in the 30s and into the 40s, could there have been a way to avoid that? No, instead, people started to side with this side or that side. What's the poor Christian to do? It's a struggle. There's so much coming on. And propaganda was bad enough back then. It's worse today. DDT. Despite what the bulk of mankind would like to believe, the book of Hebrews clearly talks about sinning, which is the transgression of the law. How could law be done away if it's written in your heart? What is that law in your heart based on? Is it based on some edict that came out of Washington or Stockholm or Paris? Or is it based on the Ten Commandments? That is a strong foundation. Too many people forget the commandment about adultery and fornication, and we turn a blind eye to it. Churches more and more have turned away from it. Let it not be said of us. It's not done away. The law is not done away in our heart, and we must actively pursue righteousness. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from love of money. Not that you should be poverty stricken, but there's times that you just don't pursue it and damage your spirit or damage somebody else. So many in this nation get defrauded because somebody wants to become richer. Becoming rich is not wrong, but the pursuit and who you hurt along the way is wrong. Be content with what you have. That's again 13:5, Hebrews 13:5. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? How many people have we heard they've been challenged by an issue concerning the Sabbath on the job? I was terrified when I was first challenged with that way back in 1968. They swapped out Monday for Saturday and wanted us to come in on Saturday just because Christmas fell in the middle of the week and they wanted to be nice and give us 3 days off. I was going to tell the boss early in the morning, I was going to tell him, well, I can't come in tomorrow because of, and I was afraid to, and I didn't say anything. And then lunch came around and I was still afraid to. Finally, it was like, we get off at 3:30, we got off at 3:30, and I was afraid to say anything, but I knew I had to say something because I knew I would not show up. And at 3:00, I told him. We had a little conversation. He looked at me. He says, do what you got to do. I didn't have to crawl off into the street somewhere and die of starvation because I didn't have a job. That gave me a bit of hope. knowing things will be worked out. And we don't always see that right away, but we have to stand for the truth. The spiritual battle that we are in certainly appears to be intensifying. Many have drifted over time, even as some have awakened to see the struggles and the turmoils of mankind. Some have come back. Some drifted away, some came back. And hopefully I even get the feeling that there's going to be more coming back. Maybe not gigantic numbers, but enough that we should rejoice with people returning. We don't need to ask them, where you been all these years? What's your problem? That's not good. They just might turn around and walk away. Well, if they're going to treat me that way, I'm going to go pout for another 10 years. We have to be strong and steadfast for self, but also as a guide and example to others. Let's read this in Hebrews 10:16. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Wow. Strong words. You've been given something worth more than gold. Then we skip to a very telling and important aspect of our calling as we read in Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another, not just ourselves, stir up one another to love and good works. Encourage others to work with you. They may be willing. They may be shy. I was a shy kid once. Nobody's laughing. I was. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Like I mentioned earlier, that poor man who was on his deathbed, and he was alone. As is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day, and the day is capitalized, and that means at the return of Christ, for it is drawing near. When? We don't know. Not yet. Do we fully grasp the importance of our being an example to others? Let's turn to Hebrews 10:26. Hebrews 10:26. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. What we do is of great importance as an example to others who are struggling with the strife and sins of this age. We could be like a shining light, and it says to be as a light of a city on a hill. I had someone here, gave me a little message, and I may look her up later. I think I brought it with me, and it was so encouraging. It's sometimes you'd be up here and you wonder, I hope it came across well. And it was so encouraging to hear this from a little widow lady. There are people out there struggling and they need our help. Not my help. Not a minister's help necessarily, but all of us. Let's read a confirmation of this in the first epistle of John, 1 John 3:4. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Or, as the King James Version says, or the transgression of the law. We cannot do whatever suits our fancy, for we deceive ourselves and ally ourselves with an age and a world falling into spiritual and moral disarray and decay. In Jeremiah 6:12, it says this. Jeremiah 6:12-15. Their houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy and for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. It's hard to find a righteous person in society. We would be lucky if we were 0.1% in the entirety of the world. In verse 14, they have healed. Oh, everyone deals falsely. Verse 14, they have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Just before World War II, one of the prime ministers, he had a piece of paper in his hand. Peace! Peace in our time! Several months later, England was at war, a major war that nearly devastated the country. In verse 15, Jeremiah 6:15, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fail. At the same time, I will punish them. They shall be overthrown, says the Lord. We're in those times now. I'm going to draw this to conclusion. More and more, we do see horrifying things on the horizon for mankind in current history. Mankind is, despite appearances at times, on that very dangerous path of history when the greatest danger is again impending on world war using the latest in technology. World War One and two were really bad at the beginning, and many people were killed. But they don't have the technology and killing power that we have today. The time will come when some or many will look at us for an example, whether in the current age or the age to come. There's a scripture that talks about a man will come up to you and tug on your skirt or your pant, saying, help me, help me. People will be desperate for help. We need to be there. Steve Myers declared this in an article. The time is now to take advantage of the wonderful opportunity God is offering you at this very moment. The time is now to change and make God's purpose your purpose. Don't put it off any longer. God is calling you to change your life right now. We do have a higher calling, this is my own statement here, and a great responsibility. Whatever we do, let us not forsake our high calling, especially as we see moral codes diminishing more and more and more preparing to strike out in anger. Let's never forget these words, my final scripture, these words of hope and life. Christ declared in Matthew 25:21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And my last words are, God be with you, friends. Stay the course.